This is the national public broadcast of Imam Deputy Muhammad, Muslim leader.
Honorable Elijah Muhammad, Imam Deputy Muhammad.
Thank you. Praise be to Allah. We say Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. And we thank you for receiving us so warmly. We thank Allah for our presence here, and we worship Him alone. We associate no deities with Him. And we witness that Muhammad, to whom the Quran was revealed, is the seal of the prophets, the last prophet, and God's mercy to all the worlds, as God says in our holy book, mercy to all the worlds. Yes, and Imam Idris, he introduced something very important for us as Muslims in America, living in a country where Christians are in the great majority, and that is that it was Christians who first showed Muhammad and his followers kindness. Christian ruler of what is Ethiopia now, it's called the land of the Habashi, and accepted an envoy that was sent to Ethiopia. In fact, it was the prophet himself who sent them. He suggested that they go there, and he said there's a kind ruler there, and they should go there to seek a place, escape from the persecution in Mecca. So they went there, and one of them, who was not expected to be the learned one, but he knew Islam, he knew the religion, he knew Quran. The others were thought to be more known for their knowledge of society, things, the world, important things that would be expected in people who come to speak to the ruler of the Habashi, you know. But this common man, one of the common ones, spoke to the king, to the ruler, and recited to him passages from the Quran on Christ Jesus and his mother, Mary, peace be upon them. And when he recited to them the story in the Quran of the Blessed Mary and her son, Christ Jesus, peace be on them, the ruler said, what you've said is very similar to what we have. And when the Meccans, who were very angry that Muhammad had some followers who escaped and went to the land of the Habashi, Ethiopia, they right away went out to catch up with them. They couldn't, so they finally arrived to the Habashi himself, the ruler of the Habashi himself. And they demanded, say, these are our citizens, turn them over to us. And they charged them with teaching something different and disturbing the society of the Meccans, who were idol worshippers. And the ruler, to make it short, the ruler refused to return them over to these Meccans, and told them that, he said, I find no fault with them. And he refused to return them. So we owe Christian society, Christian world, at least thanks and appreciation. And we owe them, I think, our allegiance. We should be their allies in all good works. And I am an ally of all people doing good work. Yes, yes, that's the way Muslims ought to be, and that's the way the Christians are in their excellence. You find a Christian in his or her excellence, you forget they're Christians after you live with them or spend a little time with them. You just forget you're talking to a Christian or being with Christians. You feel you're just being with yourself or with your own kind, you know. That's if you are in your excellence. Now, if you're out of your excellence, it won't be that way. Yes. Well, we thank Allah for our presence here. And we pray Allah guide us all the way in everything that we endeavor to do in His name or in the religion of Islam. Because whatever we do as Muslims in God's name, it reflects on our religion and it reflects on us. People will blame all of us for what some of us do. And people will think some of us who misrepresent are the image or the right way to see all of us, you know, correct picture of all of us. So we have to be very careful not to, in ignorance, do something or say something to spoil what is really Islam, what is really the Muslim picture, the true picture, according to Quran and according to the life of Muhammad the Prophet. And people think I speak just at random or speak just the spirit, whatever the spirit say I speak. And they love me and they're really complimenting me when they say that. They think I'm some special guy, you know, some real special guy from heaven or somewhere. I don't know. So anyway, a sister gave me, she heard me give a lecture, and I mentioned the fig tree and Jesus Christ, what is said of him in the Gospel, the New Testament. And next class, when she came, she brought me a bag of real nice figs, some of the best looking figs I ever seen, dry figs, some of the best I ever saw. And I was so happy I saw them. I said, she found these figs. And they were looking so good. I said, oh, I got them almost looked that good, but not quite. So she handed them to me as though she was handing me the Holy Quran or something, you know. She handed them to me. And she said, she's a teacher, educator at one time. I think she's retired now. But anyway, she said, I have observed you, and I think the way you speak is the fig, it's the fig tree. And I had preached on the graduation of the soul, how the soul graduates according to Islam and the same in Christianity, I do believe. I'm a student of the Bible, as you know, and I think I'm an excellent student of the Bible. Yes, it's a graduation of the soul that has everything that we need in our life. God put it in our soul. Soul is like the seed of your whole life. And the soul is the first to register what you need. Then the soul communicates this to the other parts of the body, mainly the brain, the conscience. So these graduations that the soul wants for us are given in the Quran as the fig, the olive, and Mount Sinai. Teen was Zaytun, Watur Sinin. The fig, the olive, and Mount Sinai. So I was speaking on this and describing how a fig, the fig fruit is just so full of seeds. Many, many seeds, where the olive only have one. That's the difference, the main difference between the two. The olive has one seed, but the fig comes before in our development. The fig comes before the olive. The many brings us to recognize one. The many brings us to recognize one. And this is really logic in college and university. This is logic. You go from generalities to specifics, even in logic. You go from generalities, many, many things considered, looking for the logic, and you come to a specific, one logic that ties all things together. Or it sets the premise that we can follow and guide us into what we're looking for. Take us, the road of logic to take us to what we are trying to perceive, understand, or arrive at, you know. So I told her, I said, it's kind of spontaneous. I said, what they call spontaneity, for cognition, for the mind, trying to perceive and understand. And you'd be training to understand something, or to put things together in a logical fashion that may be puzzling you, in a particular context of knowledge or context of whatever it is, scripture, whatever, you'll be straining. And all of a sudden you get a burst of ideas. You just get a big burst of ideas. So many beautiful things come to your mind. That's the blessing of God, the Holy Spirit, you know. The blessing of God, you get all these beautiful thoughts and you say, oh, you're so happy. You're thankful to Allah. You say, oh, thank you, Allah. Thank you, Allah. And light comes on. And it's light, it's bright light, you know, so many wonderful thoughts coming together, put the light on for you. But then you still haven't found the one logic that ties everything together, That logic enables us to have rational logic. And I explained to them that the first development, the stage of development, described as teen or fig. I said, we still have language in English that can help us understand what the fig is all about. I said, if you use the expression, that is a figment of your imagination. I said, that tells us that idea is not lost from English language. And then I told them, and God taught Adam the names of all the things. I might have lost you that time. Yes, and God taught our father Adam the names of all the things. Al-Allam al-Asma' kullah. He taught him the names of all the things. And then exposed them to the English, to the angels. Exposed them to the angels. Put them where the angels could observe. And then he told the angels to tell me your names, if you know. And the angels couldn't even tell God their names. But the man was created to name all things. Adam, our first father, the developer, the man that God put on the land, made him of the land and put him on the land, so he would produce from the land and develop the land. That man is the man that God said he taught all the names. I need my glasses now. Here, I got it. So anyway, when spiritual searching, when the mind is spiritually searching, motivated, you're moved by the spirit, by the soul and the spirit to search, that is the fig tree. And when you trust faith, you trust truth, you trust righteousness, and you believe that there's a God that will reward you for trusting that way, and you're straining to understand, God calls ignition, ignite, starburst, spontaneity, beautiful burst of so many beautiful thoughts and ideas, and you know that you have been blessed by God. And Muhammad said, that's a step in the excellence of man's life as a rational being. He can't understand with his rational mind some spiritual matters or some things that are very complicated, too much for his mind at the time. But if he strains, and if he is having good intentions, purity of intentions, if he's having good intentions, God eventually rewards him. When we hear in the Bible, I'm not here teaching preach Christianity either, you know, but how can I ignore the Bible when Allah tells us, our God, who revealed the Quran to Muhammad, tells us that this prophet of ours is a prophet mentioned in the Torah and in the Injil, that is in the Old Testament and in the New, that this prophet is mentioned. Then God goes on to give us a description of this prophet. So he's one coming to take all yokes of bondage, slavery off the people, and to purify them, etc. So if God says he's in the Bible, God has already directed me to go to the Bible. Because if he says he's in there, he didn't say he's in there, but don't look in there. If he told me he's in there, then God knows he created me to go and see what he's talking about. So I went to the Bible to see what God is talking about. And I found the exact language in the Bible that is in the Quran of Muhammad the Prophet. I found it in the Bible. Yes. And then God says also, speaking of the Quran, فِيهِ كُتُبٌ قَيِّمًا. In the Quran are the books that were revealed before in their corrected form. So here's the Quran. God is telling me our Quran contains books that were given to Moses, Abraham, Moses, and Jesus. So we are really misguided, maybe intentionally by the Satan. Maybe it's the tenth of Satan that misguide us like that to turn us against Christians and the Bible. Then it could be just our ignorant leaders in the history who left the purity that Muhammad gave them. And they are envious, and they are afraid that the Christian world may convert some of us. So they don't have their faith that's strong like Muhammad's faith and like the faith of the early followers of his. They don't have that strong faith. They wouldn't send you to Ethiopia. All right? That's okay. We'll try to save time. But I'm cheering all the time. I'm so happy. I'm just applauding constantly. Yes. My home is with you all. The home of my soul is with your folks, you folks. I love you so much. And this is not something that happened overnight. It happened over a long period of time, over all my life. Yes. And as an old man, I'm getting to see it in full bloom. And it is wonderful. Yes. So anyway, bringing this to a conclusion so we can keep going. They fear that if we read the Bible, we may be converted to Christianity and leave Islam. Many of them fear that. Well, if you got something that can't stand the test, don't sell it to me. I don't buy it. I'm not the kind of person to buy it. If it can't stand the test, I don't want it. See, if I don't write notes, I'll be all over the place. And we'll be here forever. I have to write notes. Amen. Gave that book for hours without written text. I said to myself, you don't know it is written. I just don't need a whole lot of writing to follow what I want to follow. Doesn't take a lot of writing. Just a direction for me. A plan and a direction, that's all I need. Yes. So I want to begin by saying I'm afraid that if we don't get our hearts back to where they were when we were sincere and innocent, following the best of our leaders, African-American leaders, Frederick Douglass and all those, and then the religious leaders, all the good religious leaders that we follow, we were sincere. We had good intentions, and we loved our leaders for their courage and their moral strength. Courage to give us what they knew was best for us. We didn't want leaders that would permit us to do just anything and everything, or if we were wrong, to look over our mistakes just to keep us as their friends or their followers. We didn't want leaders like that. We wanted leaders who were true leaders, leaders who were true brothers and sisters, leaders who would tell us when something was wrong with us that was standing in the way of our progress, of our good life and our progress in the world. That's the kind of leaders we wanted, and we had them. We had them. But something happened in the early 60s. New leadership came. They misunderstood the honorable Elijah Muhammad, and they thought it was all about black and power. Being black, being superior, and having money and power. They went after the things of this world and lost their own soul, as the scriptures say. So that's what happened. And Now, after that has happened, we find our people with leaders that's not really having the spirit and the moral strength that the old leaders had. They're great orators, they're great speakers, but they don't have something that those old leaders had. So they are not reaching something in us, deep in us, that is hungry for help. Hungry for help. That life for us didn't start with the Honorable Elijah Muhammad. That life for us didn't start with his teacher, Mr. Farrar. Great people. But that life didn't start with them. That life started even before Frederick Douglass. That life started with the first slave that started asking questions and didn't get answers. Why am I a human being like him? But he owns me. And he's free to go where he wants to see his relative and marry who he wants to marry. But I'm not. I'm his property like his horse. Or like his cow. Or like his dog. Or like his mule. Or like his chicken. I'm just his property. Why is this? I can't ask him, he might whip me. So there's a God somewhere. And I see the master praying, I hear him talking about God. If you're really God, answer me please. Why have you assigned him to that life and me to this one? And we both seem, in my eyes, to be the same life. Questions like that, the slave would ask, just like Muhammad, looking at the miserable lot of his people in the Jahiliyyah time, idol worship time, or the time of ignorance, and carrying the burden of their ignorance on his heart, and going away from his people, away from traffic and their conversations and their everyday routine life, going away from them up into a mountain called now Jabal al-Nur, the mountain of enlightenment, of the light, because he went up there and received the light. It wasn't called that before. He went up there. He went up there with the burden of his people on his heart. And he didn't know how to call on God. He wasn't a man of scripture. But he knew, or believed, that the universe was an orderly universe, that it had a definite scheme or design. And that suggested to him, even before he met God, that there was one logic tying everything together. So he went up there crying to the higher heavens for understanding. And God responded, and God communicated to him with five short lines. Communicated to him. And the Bible says, if you knock long enough, there will be an answer. So you go to the door and you knock. Don't give up. Keep knocking. If you're knocking on the door that God has made to open for you, it will be open sooner or later. Don't give up. So those slaves, they were sincere. And they were not seeking a small freedom. I'm talking about the real ones. I'm not talking about the dumb ones that's been on like animals, satisfied with what the master had ordered for them as a life. I'm talking about those whose inner core, consciousness that is out of touch with my mind, but nevertheless it's a consciousness we call soul. Those who were in touch with that, those are the ones I'm talking about. Yes, So they didn't want for us any small freedom, the freedom from the plow and the field that we plowed, our freedom from the immediate space that the master kept us on, so we could go and travel outside of that area and see what's on the other side. Our freedom to play when we want to play. No, they were seeking a bigger freedom. They were seeking a freedom to connect themselves with the world that God made. The whole heavens and earth, skies and earth. They wanted freedom to be connected with that, and they wanted to know, where am I in this great plan? Where am I in this great world that you made, God? And what should I be doing here? Should I be having this small life of a slave? I don't think so, because my soul is not satisfied with this small life. My soul knows better. Yes, that's the kind of thinkers they were. And they're the ones who began to be dissatisfied with their circumstances and have courage to change it. Frederick Douglass, as you know his story. How he was under a slave master who was kind to him and who had a wife who really saw great value in Frederick Douglass and thought he should use his intelligent mind. So she would go and bring him books to read. But when he got a master that was pressured financially and saw Frederick Douglass only as money, a price that he could get if he sold him, he became pressed. He was pressured by financially, and he said, well, I have to sell him. He didn't want to sell him, but he sold him. And he sold him, pardon me, the good master, sold him to a bad one, one who just wanted money. And the bad one didn't treat him like a human life, treated him like something he bought, animal. So one day Frederick Douglass got tired of it in the road. He's a tall, stately man, as you know. You've seen his picture, I heard of it. And I guess he dropped one of those short rights on the jaw of his master and dropped his master in the road, left him there sleeping, and he went on to freedom. Now how come some of you all want to forget Frederick Douglass?
For more on the ministry of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, call our right, Ministry of W. Dean Muhammad, 178-798-6750. All right, Ministry of Imam W. Dean Muhammad, Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. For Muslim Jones, who's local distributor. And thanks for listening.